The book of the Psalms this evening, Psalm 119. Do we have time to read the whole division there? Nobody said no, so silence gives consent. No, actually, we'll just look at the second part of Psalm 119. It's just interesting to me to read these psalms and try to read them from the perspective of the author. I think it lends a little bit different picture when we read them understanding or trying to understand who the author was. I don't know who wrote this. It's one of those divisions or one of those sections that is debatable. It's not really clearly specified. Some people think that Daniel wrote it. Some people think that David wrote it. Sometimes when I read people's thoughts about who wrote the Psalms, I just think that maybe they're thinking that David wrote all of them. So I'm not real sure why they say who writes what, if it's, you know, not clearly stated. I think, though, for myself, that as I read this section, Beth, if I read it from Daniel's perspective, I get a different idea. If I read it from David's perspective, there's something different about it. I don't know that I can necessarily put it into words tonight, but as I read it and I look at it from these perspectives, it seems to lend a different attitude or atmosphere around it. I have written at the bottom of the page here in my Bible, did Daniel write this? That's just an inquiry for myself, probably because of that very thing of the perspective. So let's begin reading at verse number 9 of Psalm 119, and we'll read that section. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Does that give you a different idea thinking between David and Daniel as to who wrote it? The little bit of a difference that I can put into words between David and Daniel is that Daniel was separated from his people. He was completely in a new culture, a new country, and they didn't like his culture and country. And so we find as we think about Daniel, where he says in verse number 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. It was a reality, it was a vital aspect for him. Separated as he was, alone, if you please, and he realized the value of having God's word hidden in his heart. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Now, it's one thing for David to say that in his context, but for Daniel to say that in his context, it does give a little bit different meaning to me. Maybe it doesn't to you. I want to focus here just for a few minutes on verse number 10. You can look at it however you like, from David's perspective or from Daniel's perspective. Or if you want to think that Moses wrote it. Doesn't matter to me. Verse number 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. J.M. Humphrey says it this way. In these days of shifting and sifting, many of the people of God are in danger of going to one of two extremes, namely, formality or superficiality, ceremonies or shallowness. Where there are many getting back into bondage by stressing ceremonial laws of offerings, new moons, Sabbath days, etc., there are others drifting to the other extreme by ignoring the plain commandments which were given by the Lord Jesus Christ. Such laws as loving God with all of your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. These persons argue that they are not under the law, but under grace, forgetting that Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Those are the words of J.M. Humphrey. Maybe they don't mean much to you in that sense, but he's looking at this phrasing, the wording here, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. J.M. Humphrey is of the opinion that David wrote this passage. And when you look at it from that perspective, David, as a shepherd, was acquainted with the consequences of a sheep that wandered away and what that would mean. The difference in the life if they were not under the care of the shepherd. And then also the shepherd having to leave the fold and go out to find those that have wandered. What does it mean to wander? What does it mean to wander? Have you ever just gone out and wandered? My dad used to make comment. He didn't like to follow me through the woods because I tended to wander or meander through the woods. Even though I was going to a specific place, I kind of meandered. He didn't like that. He wanted to go there, go straight. He didn't want to do all that wandering. Meandering back and forth. The dictionary would tell us that wander is to roam hither and thither, with the idea of aimlessness. And it would mean to deviate from a true course or depart from a prescribed path, to turn from a previously followed course or path, wandering away. The psalmist here is praying or requesting, asking God, oh, let me not wander. Don't let me wander away. Don't let me drift out of your realm, out of or away from your commandments. Teach me your statutes. Help me to meditate in your precepts. Give me respect for all of your ways, that I might delight in your statutes, so that I don't forget your word. Don't let me wander away. Why would it be such that that would be an important aspect of the psalmist? Why would it be such that it would be an important aspect for us today as Christians who have the Word of God not only hidden in our heart, I hope, but also have it readily available to us in written form in books as well as on our electronic devices? We have it handy, very, very handy to us. Why is it so important for us to consider this? Probably the best answer would be because Jesus has given us warning over and over again. The psalmist has given us warning over and over again. The prophet Isaiah gave warning a time or two at least. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Well, that doesn't mean too much, perhaps, until we read the warning from Isaiah, where he tells us in the 53rd chapter in the 6th verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own. Those are words from the prophet to the children of Israel. The children of Israel are a figure or a shadow of people. It's a testimony to what we also can be or should be aware of or cautious about. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way. Jesus cautioned in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. In Mark chapter 13, verse 37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Watch, be careful, be attentive to your soul. You know, there's a whole lot more, many, many more examples of warnings in Scripture about being on guard. These are just a few of the ones that specify that being on guard to keep us from wandering away, because it is by nature. We need God's help daily. What can we do? What can we do to keep from wandering? Be careful and attentive. Oh, that's too simple, isn't it? Well, it may be too simple because of the way we're thinking about it, but it really becomes a very pointed point for us, a pointed spot for us. Because we can become careless and we can lack attention to the details of our spiritual lives. We need to make sure that we're careful and attentive. This is a difficult thought as we look at wandering away. Wandering away would indicate that we are leaving things behind. We are leaving people behind. You've probably heard it said. Now, the majority of us here have been brought up in church. The majority of us have understood the vernacular of church and the warnings of the preacher repeatedly across the years. I've used it, I've preached it, I've said it. I know that others have as well. It's not just for me to be preaching it. I know that many, many other preachers have covered the issues as well. And it's a common occurrence for pastors to look at and to be concerned about when people in their wandering can't see their wanderings beginning at the point of leaving the sheepfold or the congregation for other ventures. Missing this service and missing that service and missing the next service. Oh, it may be very, very limited here and there. And we excuse it by saying we have something to do. There's something important for us to accomplish. And so we begin to miss. But what it's doing is making it easier to miss in another scenario, in another situation, in another time, so that we are slowly drifting away. And when we are drifting away, we are allowing ourselves to be in a position for the wolf to separate and devour. Isn't that what the wolf does? Have you heard and read about the wolf or the coyote? Whatever the case may be, they need to separate, get the person or the animal separated from its group, from its family, from its protections, in order for it be able to devour. And that is the tactic of the enemy of our soul, would divide and separate and keep us away so that he can slip in unawares. It's a vital aspect. So many times, I mentioned this afternoon that, you know, it's not too much for me to be able to say in one of my pastorates, it's kind of limited. You know exactly who I'm talking about or where I'm talking about. Oh, that pastor, it's not the one you're thinking about. Well, narrows it down by a bunch. But I can point to it. I can point to it repeatedly. Not just in the years, 20-some years that I've been pastoring, but I can point to it in previous years before that. The separation, the leaving away. And the thing is, there is a strong warning in the book of Hebrews, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. That's one of the biggest blessings of being together, is that togetherness for the Holy Spirit to work with us and to cause us to focus and to think and to learn and to grow, keeping the enemy from dividing, separating us from the pack, as it were. Oh, I could probably go into Psalms 1 and verse 1. You know that verse, or Isaiah 58:13, talk about the things there of wandering away from the commandments of God and listening to counsel and all of that. Talking about, Lord, don't let me wander. Keep me from wandering. When we begin the process of wandering, we reach a fork in the road somewhere in our lives. After we have wandered a little while, I'm not going to say how long it's going to be. I don't know how many services you miss before you reach a fork in the road. But when we begin to separate ourselves and we wander away from God's commandment and we begin to drift away from the hunger of His Word and the respect for His statutes, or the delight in His statutes and the respect for His ways, all of these things that the writer was listing. We reach a fork in the road. A fork in the road is a time for decision. Which way do we go? That's what the picture is of the fork in the road. I hope we all understand that. The fork in the road. We have to make a decision. And when we have begun the system of drifting or wandering away, we reach that fork in the road and we no longer have a keen edge spiritually of divine leadership. The voice of the Holy Spirit is quiet. We may not understand that at the time that we are in that position. And choices are made. Now, what is it that we can be warned about? The proverb writer said in 16:25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It seemeth right. I'm at the fork in the road, and this way really looks to be the right way. But proverb writer tells us, the wise man tells us, that way is the end of that way is the way of death. How can that be? How can that be? What story or what example could you put in that? Do you know of somebody? Can you point to somebody that came to a decision in their lives and because of the weakness of their life spiritually, the keen edge was gone, the voice of the Holy Spirit was silencing, it was quieting, you could no longer hear it. My wife accuses me that I'm getting deaf. My hearing's gone. It very well could be. Working in the press room for 7 years, no doubt hurt me. shooting guns without earplugs or headphones on or muffs on. It could have hurt me. There's no doubt about it. I don't notice it. I can't tell that I'm losing my hearing. I can still hear sounds. I can still hear that squirrel that sounds like a deer. I can still hear a noise in the engine of the vehicle, and my wife and daughter both say, I can't hear anything like that. I'm talking about that little tap I was talking to you about. You know, just a little bitty, I can hear it. They can't, and they're telling me that I'm deaf. I think it's time to get with the program. But the reality is there are certain things that I can't hear as well anymore. Spiritually. We're at the crossroads. We've wandered. We haven't kept that keen edge. We haven't kept that great close relationship. We can't say with the psalmist here of what he's saying and all these details. It seemeth right. What example are you thinking about? Maybe it's a personal example, something that you personally experienced and you can point to. What about Lot? I believe that Abraham was doing a good thing. Very gracious to allow Lot to make the decision. Lot's choice wasn't in and of itself bad either, was it? The problem was where you and I can point to the problem of being that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. That may be innocent on the outside of everything, but the reality of it was that his attention was pointing that direction. And when he got up in the morning and when he went to bed at night, that was the first thing he saw and the last thing he saw, and he began to be drawn that direction. Confused when they come to the fork in the road. Let's see here. I'm going to wrap this up. And everybody said amen. When we begin to wander away and we neglect these points that the psalmist is saying here, those specifics that I mentioned, then we are easily drawn aside by the brilliant lights. Even spiritually. You know, what does it tell us in God's word about the end times? Oh, Jesus is over here. Let's run over here. Oh, no, he's over here. Let's run over here. I'm not saying that to keep everybody at Wise Ball Community Church because here is where it is. No, I'm not. That's not the point in saying that. I'm just simply saying that we have to be careful that we're not drawn away because over here it looks glamorous right now. And over here it looks wonderful right now. When really the Holy Spirit is doing a quiet work right here, right now. When the Holy Spirit is trying to do a quiet work right here, right now. But we can get caught up in the bright lights or the drama, the excitement. Instead of allowing him to do the work right here to create an excitement from this point. What do we do? Well, we first of all need to consult the compass, God's word. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. I will meditate. There's Edward's word. I really like that Wednesday night message that he shared with us. That's a good one for us to consider repeatedly. There it is. I will meditate in thy precepts. Allow them to fill us. Consult the compass. make the proper adjustments to be pointing in the direction of the compass. Obey. Take time. Take time to be holy. As thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Oh, it takes time. How shall we escape if we neglect? Oh, it takes time to focus in. Lord, don't let me wander. Keep me. Keep me. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your attendance and attention this evening. Trust you have a good week. Lord willing, I'll see you on Tuesday. Praise the Lord. David Drummond, would you dismiss us tonight?